We Talk Podcast presents...
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host, Joshua Adam, William Arbuthnot, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
And the master of the intellect, the one, the only, the returning Mo.
Oh, I like that. That works.
So we got to get into the biggest story of the week. You know, everyone has been talking about it. It's flooded social media. It has been everywhere, you guys. Eve Marie changed her hair color. Crickets. Crickets across the crowd. Mo, any thoughts?
It's all red everywhere.
I everywhere? You sure? Everywhere?
Everything. All red.
And then today she had black and red braids, so I don't even know what to think about this whole thing.
I think by the time she comes back, she'll have her red hair again.
We'll have to see.
I don't think they spent that entrance and that everything for her to not have. I don't know.
I don't know. It looked like a wig to me personally.
It doesn't matter.
Joel?
It's hair. It'll change. It'll change back.
Okay. All right, well, let's get into the real story of the week, the biggest story. Kevin Owens won the Universal Championship with help from Triple H. Now we have to wonder, will there be a Shield versus the Click? Will it be Shield versus NXT? The problem with that, a lot of people think that the head of this is Triple H at it. Joel and I are pretty happy about Kevin Owens winning. So, Joel, I'm going to let you go, and then, Mo, you can go. Joel?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy and content with KO winning. Is the booking with having Hunter positioned a little bit more at the forefront with everything? It's typical. I think I'm a little numb to it. I just fully expect when Hunter's involved in something, he's kind of put in a bigger spot. I do think they'll eventually branch off, and Seth and Hunter are obviously going to feud and likely going to have a match at WrestleMania 33. This is a big win for KO. We had talked about the draft and kind of the direction of KO and where he was kind of going, where he wasn't going. And now he's got a little bit more direction to him. I don't know how long he holds the title for. Obviously, there's a long list of people that he will be dropping the title to at one point or another, whether that be Roman. Because Roman will have another title reign. And ultimately, when Balor comes back, whoever has the title at that time is obviously going to have a feud with him, and we'll see if Balor picks up the title. But, I mean, it's good on Owens. I mean, he's probably one of the better performers that WWE has, both on the mic and in the ring. Would I like to have seen a pop-up powerbomb to close it all out? Yeah, I definitely would have. But at that there was that moment when you see not... Kevin Owens, the character, the prize fighter. You see Kevin Steen, the lifelong fan that used JR and Jerry the King Lawler's commentary to learn English. You saw that person in the middle of the ring celebrating with that title, and you got to see him bring that title home to his kid. I don't think there's as different pay scales anymore in pro wrestling, where the champions get paid a lot more than regular talent. So this means nothing for his bank account, but... he's got to be a damn proud to be able to bring that.
You're wrong there. Yeah. You're wrong there.
I am wrong.
You're wrong about that last thing. Yeah, you absolutely are. They still have a downside guarantee. Yeah, absolutely. The champion on the mainly for the touring, you know, in the house shows.
Yeah.
The champion will get paid a lot more.
Okay. Then he's got to be happy about that then as well. I stand corrected, which, I mean, is a good thing as well, because it means he's bringing more money home, and I think he's an entertaining wrestler, so good on him. It's all that hard work, all those nights of being put through ladders, tables, chairs, whatever him and Sammy El Generico did to each other on the indies, it's all paid off now, so I'm happy, but I'm happy with the moment. But I don't know where it's going to go from here, and that's where I'm a little bit more I'm hesitant to say anything about the future because we've seen WWE with their booking, and how he was booked out of the gate has me a little worrisome, but at the same time, just have to see how it plays out and see what his title run looks like.
Mo?
You made some interesting points there, Joel. And, you know, I know that when he won it, you guys, you know, we were messaging a little bit, and you said you were on a Kevin Owens high, and Josh, you said that too. You're like, I'm on a Kevin Owens high, and I think you're still on it, right? And
it sounds stuff that Joel said. Sorry, it's just like you're happy to see Owens with the title, and you're happy because of this is the guy that Jim Cornette said couldn't do it. Vince Russo, who gives a shit, but still said he couldn't do it. That was told he was too fat, that he was told all these things. And it's just, you know, that story of adversity, it's hard never to root. It's hard to not root for something like that.
And it certainly sounds like Joel has come off the high to a degree. But that's kind of where I was right at the beginning is not far from where it sounds like he is now. Whereas it's like, I'm really, really happy for him because he's an excellent wrestler and an excellent talker, and he connects to the crowd wonderfully. And he has his look to me is a positive because it makes him unique looking, which is something they don't have a lot of.
No,
you know. So I mean, I'm a big fan. I've been a big fan for a long time, for years. You know, watching him, and so I'm really happy for him. But on the other hand, part of me is like, well, I don't really know what he won. Like, and that's part of my issue. And when I say that, I mean, number one, what level am I supposed to hold this belt at?
That's a fair point that no one's bringing up.
I don't really know. It's like, okay, so he got this belt. What is this belt? There's no legacy to it. It's like,
hey man, he's almost been as long champion as Vacant. Vacant's still the longest running champion though. Vacant, what a title run.
Like, but that's it, though. I is this the same title that Steve Austin won? That he we idolized? No. Does it mean as much as the title that Austin won? No.
No.
Like, does it mean as much as the title that Christian won when he won his? Probably not. Like, I don't really know what this, like, so it's like, okay, it's the top title on this Raw brand. It's supposed to mean something, but what is it? It's a brand new title. So that's part of it for me, is I'm not connecting to what this win is.
Like
that's
the way you would if AJ wins next Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And AJ, because AJ will win the most important belt in the history of the business. And there's no question about it. And that belt that right now is not as important as it should be because Ambrose's title range is...
Yeah,
it's not his fault, but nope. it's a little down, right?
Yep.
So that's part of it. But the other part of it is, and you mentioned Triple H, but it's not just Triple H. He was Triple H, Mick Foley, Stephanie, Rollins, and Reigns. Five people that were put ahead of him as important in that segment. He was the sixth, your champion is put as the sixth most important person in the segment. To me, that it's more than just Triple H then. It's the idea that there's a difference between, he's not the champion, you know? It's like there's a difference between getting a title and being made the champion. And he was given the title, but he's not made the champion. Roman Reigns at WrestleMania was made the champion. That's making a champion. Whether it worked or not, that's definitely what they did. This was not making him the champion. This is just giving him the title. So I've seen this too many times, and I guess the reason I look at it and I go, this is not as satisfying. I want this to be satisfying. He deserves it. He's so good. I want him to get it. I want them to give the ball to Kevin Owens. I want to see if he can turn this company around because I believe he's that good. And I know I'm not getting it. And I guess how many of the last, I don't know, X amount of title reigns where somebody won the belt and you were excited at first when they won it. Can I ask you guys for the last time that a title reign that you were excited for when it started finished with you feeling it was as good as you thought it would be?
It's been a while.
What's the last one?
Oh God.
What's the last one?
It's been
so your question is, what's the last title reign that started good and we thought it'd be great Didn't it finish bad?
No, that's almost all of them. What's the last one that you went into, and when the guy won a title, you were excited and you thought this was going to be great, and when it finished, you went, that was great.
A few that stand up to me that I was excited. When Christian won, I'm like, oh my god, this is going to be amazing. It ended up being a great feud with him and Randy, make no mistake. But
he lost it right away.
And then with Edge, it's like, yes, they're trying to new, and then no, and Benoit, that was not a great title reign with Benoit even. Eddie's was pretty good, though. That's what I would contend would be Eddie's is maybe the last one.
You know, that was only like 2 months, 3 months, or whatever it was. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to think of anyone in the past year.
CM Punk's real, his
that's
really
the answer. That's the answer, I think.
Well,
That was a good title reign. He was face for half of it, and it was heel for half of it. So you had both sides of the championship. Yeah. Well, he had to lose it eventually. He had it for a year and a half almost.
Well, no, he dropped it in the middle. Like, when are you talking about that Survivor Series win over Del Rio or the Cena win at Money in the Bank?
No, the year one, the one that he lost to The Rock.
So then the Del Rio one with him beating Del Rio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the one with Cena, that was, I mean, right away, immediately afterwards, he's, you know, getting into verbal confrontations with Kevin Nash and getting the pedigree 1-2-3, losing Cena in the middle of the ring.
Yep.
Right. And then he gets the belt, and it's like you say it is, but the truth is the memory of it is better than it was.
He made the title relevant again, because the title was flip-flop, like, to Randy, to Cena, to Batista, to Hunter, and he made the title important again, and then The Rock took it and blew the whole thing up all over again.
For the first 12 months he held that title, he only headlined 2 pay-per-views.
That's true.
John Cena headlined 10.
Yeah.
That's an actual fact. John Cena, without the belt, was headlining. You know, against like Wade Barrett and all this shit.
Wasn't one of them one of them against Laurinaitis as well?
Yep.
Yeah, like all he's headlining all the shows. So we say it's CM Punk, but the truth is, and that CM Punk's was interesting when he faced the Ryback, because we didn't know what was going to happen, and then of course he had the stuff with The Rock. But the truth is that most of that reign he was placed as secondary, and that's what I'm worried about. So to me, it's like you might remember this because it was so long, but it's so long because it was never focused on. And that's the thing about this. This is kind of where I go Kevin Owens. I've seen this too many times before. It wasn't focused on. When Seth Rollins had the belt, Seth Rollins should have been a great champion. Instead, Seth Rollins won, I think his last, he was 2-16 or something like that, or lost like 16 straight television matches before the injury where he lost his belt. Like,
yeah,
you know, so like ridiculous stats, like where it's like, okay, you're the champion, but you're not the champion. You just have the title, and I'm sick of that.
That's actually a great point.
That's where I'm like, he got it, and I went, it's starting off like that, starting off the Raw.
I mean, I almost want to make the debate that it's Raw, so the talent is a little smaller, the brand extension, but I could see Roman headlining some shows that when Owens is the champion and that Roman will take it. I mean, Joel, we saw this at SummerSlam. We were like, the Roman match isn't on yet. The Roman match was the second last match. So it shows still where Roman is. Yeah.
Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose were for the most important title in the history of the business.
Yeah.
And what was it on? Like fourth or fifth at the top?
Fifth. It was behind the women's match. It was behind Roman. It was behind Finn and behind Brock and Randy.
So there you go.
In like, the so longest day ever.
Yeah. Oh, God.
God.
Yeah. Are you sure?
If you want to hear Joel and I tired, listen to that podcast.
I know that we were going to do a podcast and We Talk Wrestling on it. Just looked at each other and went, no.
Yeah, I don't think Joel and I will do that again. We're not doing one after WrestleMania this year.
No.
Too tired. But yeah, so I mean, I guess that's where I want to really be excited by this. And instead I'm going, I know what it is. I've been burned by them. I haven't. The last time I was really excited about a title reign and I thought it was great was, I don't know when. Like, I really don't know.
I mean, and they pulled the trigger late on some people too. Like, is it almost is it a little late for them to pull the trigger on Owens? Like, is it as bad as it was with Del Rio? Because that one was way too late with Del Rio.
No, I don't think so.
That was the worst, one of the worst circumstances ever.
Oh, the Del Rio.
Way too late.
Way too late. That was awful.
Yeah.
I mean, Del Rio might have been the worst book guy ever. Mm-hmm. Like, consistently for the last several years. Like, just horrible.
Which is why he quit.
Late.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, I don't think it's too late. I mean, the crowd really likes Owens. It's the thing.
And that's my question. Is him and Hunter a face with the NXT thing? And Seth is still a heel? Which way do you go with this?
I've heard, and it's just like floating out there, the belief is Seth is now a babyface. But, I mean, that crowd reaction for Hunter, and I mean, Hunter's garnered a lot of favoritism lately because of the NXT brand. So, I don't know. It's going to be very interesting, but I can see them. They like to shoehorn things and make things have to fit. Like the square peg going into the round hole. Look at Roman. It's a prime example of that. So
yeah, if they played Operation, the board would the electricity would have blown up the board.
Yeah.
From hitting the side too many times.
Yeah.
go ahead.
I don't know. It's gonna be very hard. Like, the biggest thing is, I think we're gonna have a much clearer picture. Hopefully, at least somewhat clear picture on Monday. On where everyone stands and who everyone is. Have KO cut a promo, have Hunter out and involved in things, and have Seth being around, and then just kind of go from there.
I think the one cool thing about this is that it just set up a whole bunch of storylines. And I'll agree with Joe, like, I would have preferred if he hit the pop-up powerbomb or got the win himself instead of Hunter hitting the pedigree, because he's a mercenary, right? He should want to do the job himself. He's never really been a chicken shit heel. And that was kind of chicken shit heel level for the pin. But I like all the stories that have came out of this.
Matches. He's walked out of a lot of matches as a chicken shit heel.
That's so true. Yeah, fair enough. I just as the prize fighter, as the mercenary, I would have liked him just be ruthless and hit the powerbomb.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot. There's I could have come up here right now and come up with, okay, the four-way is starting. On the way to the ring, Rusev attacks Reigns, beats the shit out of him, giving you an out for Reigns and letting you have that, you know. And the same thing, I would have, you know, Triple H wants to come down, you know, I get Reigns pinned first now because he's hurt, then Cass gets pinned, I have Triple H down, everybody thinks he's with Rollins, you know, and his back is turned, and you know, Owens is getting thrown into the ropes, and he reverses it. And Triple H accidentally trips the wrong guy. And when he gets up, Rollins is yelling at him. Triple H is wondering what's going on. Pop-up powerbomb. 1, 2, 3. Owens is the champion. Triple H gets in the ring, says, I'm sorry. It was blah, blah, blah. Then turns on him. And it was a swerve the whole time. And Owens looks strong. You still get the heel stuff. Reigns doesn't have to do the job to the... Because that's the other thing, right? I mean, Rollins has the pedigree. Rollins hits the pedigree on Finn will kick out. Triple H hits the pedigree on anybody, you're fucked. That's it, you're done.
Most devastating finisher in history.
And I just hate it. Like, this is just me spitballing, but just that is like, okay, and then he gets in the ring and he's like, I'm sorry, we're going to win this championship back. We didn't want him to have it. Look at him. And then when he turns around, then he hits the pedigree on Rollins afterwards. That way, there's the storyline and Owens still looks like a strong champion and still has his moment, and you still get the storyline afterwards with Triple H and babyface Rollins and all that stuff. It's just the point being that you could have gone. It just there's storylines, but it's who cares if it's a storyline if the storyline isn't executed well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think this is executed well because it puts the focus on the wrong person. I want to focus on the champion.
Where do you see Roman going now from all of this? It back to Rusev?
Well, that's
or do you have him? Do you have him? Is it? Sorry,
that's week two now.
Yeah,
like I don't know. I don't know. I really don't.
Rusev wasn't even on TV, so.
Well, he was having his Korean wedding.
Yeah, he's at his second wedding. So.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I just, again, I look at it and I think that, like, I'm trying to, part of it is I'm trying to figure out who Owens' opponent is. Because, I mean, the plan was Finn wins the belt, then defends against Owens, then does a three-way with Jericho. And Jericho's clearly still being kept strong after his win against Neville. Now, I don't see a one-on-one match. The three-way still works. You can still do the three-way with Owens, Jericho, and now Sami Zayn.
But yeah, I think you hold off Sami. I think you maybe do Seth right now. Seth and Jericho and Owens, maybe.
You could, but I think you could do Zayn. But the thing is, you can't do Zayn, and even though it makes sense because he beat him, you can't do Zayn and Owens because the whole point was that's his signature win in the WWE. So if he faces Owens and now loses next month to the championship, that win meant nothing.
Yeah.
So you can't do that. So I just don't know who is Owens' opponent.
You know, I see what you're saying, but the choices are there. You can do a Jericho program. You can do a Seth program. You can do a Roman program. You have the Finn program. And then you can go back to Sammy again. So the programs are there.
The Jericho program, though, would position one of them as babyface. And they just turned Rollins. They're not going to turn one of those two now.
Yeah, I think it will happen.
So it's either Rollins, or which would be weird, because let's face it, Rollins is a babyface now. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying Rollins shouldn't be a babyface. I'm just saying you're 3 fucking months too late.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong.
I'm not wrong, no.
I have nothing to come back, Joel.
Nothing. Mo has a lot of valid points, and in a lot of ways he's right. But the one thing is, he's right now. But until Monday hits and that 9:30s hit and we've seen what they're doing moving forward, then either Mo's going to be even more right, or there's the possibility of Mo maybe they're trying something different. But, you know, but it's again, WWE. Like, they are still pretty much set in their ways. They're still trying to have to recapture that Austin versus McMahon magic.
Well, they better do something correctly because they're a week away from going head to head with Monday Night Football. So they better do something exciting next week.
I know
that the ratings have actually been better than I thought, especially for SmackDown. Ratings are actually up. This SmackDown, this is the best ratings since the draft, and I'm like that blows.
I think
me
that
away.
Brian and Miz segment definitely helped.
Oh, it definitely helped. But also, yeah. I just think AJ is a big draw.
Yeah,
I really think AJ is a lot of it too. So I think that Brian and Miz thing, and I think between those two things, of them and AJ. But I mean, people don't want to see Reigns in the title match.
No,
even
I mean,
he's not going to win.
We celebrated like the Flames won the Stanley Cup when Roman got pinned. At that point, we're like, I don't even care if Seth wins.
Yeah.
Fine, Roman didn't win. I don't care. I don't have to deal with Roman Reigns right now.
And they could put Rollins in, but I don't know. Something about it to me doesn't have any momentum. Mm-hmm. He lost so much momentum. He had some momentum as a babyface. He's lost it. He hasn't gotten it back from that pedigree. So I just don't know who the opponent is. That's a big problem for me. Like, maybe you could have put Neville in there if you had,
not buried him every week.
Yeah, exactly. Or Cesaro, if you weren't having him in some feud that nobody gives a shit about. You know, best of 40.
I guess that will be one of the futures. Cesaro versus KO when Cesaro wins and comes back from this 3-0 deficit.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always figured it was going to be Cesaro against Rusev for the American belt, the U.S.
Well, that just makes too much sense, Mo. Come on.
That's true.
It just makes too much damn sense. I mean, yeah, so I think everyone here makes some solid points. I like your points. The title doesn't have any meaning yet. We have to build it up. We have to build up the meaning of it. But I get what you're saying. Like, it's not like he's winning the main belt. But I think it's just the idea, like, he's a world champion. I don't know what the fucking
he's
word is.
He's a brand champion.
He's a champion. He's the head champion. Sure.
And the thing is, it probably is a more important belt than the other belt now already. That's even scarier. You know?
Well, we'll see what happens because I'm going to transition here. So we got Backlash next week. If it, oh, go ahead. It seems like you have something left to say.
I did, and now I forgot what I was going
to
say. Please go ahead.
Oh, sorry. You go to SmackDown. I didn't like the way AJ was positioned, although what he did in the ropes after with the dark match kind of made up with it, I guess. But you have to put the belt on AJ right now, right? Or do you wait until I think No Mercy is the next one for them?
Well,
he's got to get the belt. He has to. Go ahead, Joel.
It's pretty cut and dry. He has all the momentum in the world. He's beaten Cena. Any sort of loss to Dean kills that momentum or really hurts it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time. I think you can sit there and look at, like, Dean is still making decent money for merch, from my understanding, and Dean's, but this Dean world title just hasn't clicked and hasn't entered into that next phase where it feels really special. It's time to put the title on AJ because he's your top heel. He is probably one of the more entertaining guys in ring. Like, he had a really good match with Apollo Crews. And it's just something AJ can go out and do. And we've known this, and we've talked about this many times, where AJ can just go out and outperform anyone out there in the WWE, and probably in the world, to be honest. It's time to let him run with the title until WrestleMania. I let him have a nice long
Well,
run.
Let me ask you guys. Two-thirds of this of the year, you know, 2016, is done. Mm-hmm. Who's the MVP of WWE?
To me, there's really only two to me. It's AJ or Charlotte.
Okay, Joel?
For me, right now, it's AJ. And to me, in a small way, not as big as AJ, like, not, this isn't kayfabe based solely on wins and titles like PWI, is it?
Like, no. This is your pick of who you think has been the most valuable person to the company this year.
To me, the two people that stick out the most, AJ's obviously number one, coming in and being supposed to be just this mid-card guy that Vince was just like, oh, we'll sign him because we want.
That was supposed to job to Ryback.
Yeah. So. AJ came in and blew the door open. He didn't get a lot of wins, but the Cena win at SummerSlam's big, and he's now got some momentum. And the other one to me is Sami Zayn. Like, he doesn't get noticed on a lot of radars, but I mean, he's had great matches against Kevin Owens. He had that match against Shinsuke. He comes out and he constantly.
Iron Man with Joe.
He's had great matches night in and night out. He is that good little soldier that will go out and do what you need him to do. And he's very good at it in ring. To me, that's someone that definitely sticks out to me as an MVP. So those two would be my kind of pick.
Okay, and I think all three of those are really good choices. I would definitely, you know, I definitely see what you're saying with Zayn, though. For me, it's AJ so far ahead of everybody else.
Yeah. Oh my god,
like a guy,
yes.
Like, yeah, and so when I think about, okay, he's your MVP. And when I look at the reactions he's getting, like, and I look at the ratings on SmackDown, they're doing it without John Cena now. And I look at even the reaction he gets when he's in the ring with a John Cena, or the reactions he was getting with Reigns. I think to myself, if he loses, like, he's already lost how many title matches? Four?
Yeah, well, four? A few, yeah.
Well, the Royal Rumble and then the two to Reigns, so.
Okay, so three. But one more would be, it's like, I know he's obviously so good.
And lost his WrestleMania match, which was uncalled for.
And he lost his WrestleMania. Like, he just can't lose it. The thing is, obviously, they're setting it up so that Cena will come back and beat him.
That's,
you know,
that's
and that kind of sucks, but.
That's the right booking of that, though. That is the right booking of that.
Yeah, it sucks that he would have to lose, but it is the right booking. And you know what? Yep. If it's for the world title. It would mean, or the WWE Championship, whatever the hell you want to call it certainly means more.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, he's got to get it here. He's I think he's the biggest star in the company outside of Brock and John Cena right now, as far as to the crowd.
How's about this? Me and Joe have been saying this for a while. I think one of the great things about SmackDown is they have arguably the number one heel in AJ Styles, the number one face in Randy Orton right now. Randy's just totally revitalized to me right now. But Randy's not getting even close to the cheers that AJ as a heel is getting.
No. AJ's right now to the crowd, he's a bigger star than even, you know, like I say, other than the only two, Cena and Lesnar. That's it. I mean, those are the only two. And those guys aren't full-time
Sasha?
Guys.
Sasha and Bailey?
No. Not compared to AJ. No.
Fair.
No. They're over. But yeah. They're not compared to AJ.
AJ has a lot of good things going. He has that pedigree and that history that hardcore fans will respect and know about. And we've seen him wrestle. We've seen what he did in the Tokyo Dome. We saw what he did in Nashville. You know this guy, but he has a moveset and his ability to convey himself that the casual fans that are in that audience gravitate to him, are interested in what he's doing. Ooh, what's AJ doing? Is he going to beat up John Cena? Is he going to take the headband and put it around his head and walk around? What's this guy going to do? And when he gets in ring, it's so silky smooth. Whenever I look at guys wrestling, I always compare him to Bret. Because to me, Bret had always been the best that I'd seen. Just the way he moved, the way he did things, the way they told the story. I always compared everything to Bret. And I look at AJ, and I go, he's silky smooth in the ring. His punches are nice and tight and good in there, but not to the point where he's hurting anyone. I look at Styles and I don't go, oh God, he's in the ring. Someone better watch out. He's done all these things that check all these little boxes off, and I think that's a huge part of why he's getting the reaction that he's getting and is in the place that he's in, because this is a guy that has worked and toiled away and was never going to be signed by WWE, yet he did. So the hardcore fans are behind him, and the casual fans are buying in because everything that he's doing is something that they can gravitate to and grab, and it's tangible to them. It's something that they can be like, this is something interesting to me. So that's why I definitely agree with you when you say AJ is leaps and bounds ahead of everyone else, because he absolutely is. There is no one in the company right now better than AJ Styles. There's a lot of really good talent. There's a lot of guys that stand out as being good for Raw, and there's a lot of guys that are good for SmackDown, but AJ Styles is good for WWE as a whole.
He's been worth every penny for Vince, all $3 million.
You know what? The thing is, he won last year. He won the Wrestling Observer Award for Wrestler of the Year. I think not only should he win it again this year, I think he should win Most Improved. That, to me...
Well, his mic skills, Mo. His mic skills, like, AJ was never this good on the mic. In TNA, he was, like, that was the one thing I always said when he's in TNA. Because they put Christian with him to talk for a while, right? He's like, well, AJ can't talk, so I'll put Christian with him, because Christian can talk. He may be better than Christian ever was right now.
Kevin Owens is awesome, and yet he does up to AJ. Like,
no.
AJ's just so, everything he does is a level above everybody else. Like you say, a total package, and so he should get the belt. And I'm not sure when he should lose it. It depends on how he's drawing it.
The rumor is him and Randy at WrestleMania. That's the rumor.
Yeah, but the point is, though, it shouldn't be, okay, so he's facing Randy at WrestleMania, so he gets the belt and then he loses it to Randy. Or he gets the belt and he loses it to Cena, because that's the storyline. The storyline should be he gets the belt and we run with it, and as long as he's the most over guy, he has it. And when the time is right and you feel it, when there's a time that somebody emerging and it feels right, then you do it.
Yeah, because you can take heel AJ Styles and build your next big baby face on SmackDown. You can take
Samoa Joe.
I don't think Joe's.
I think
wouldn't that be fun?
I think Shinsuke. I
think Shinsuke's going to Raw personally, though.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But you can take this style.
He's not going anywhere but NXT for a while.
Yeah.
I think it's time to just let AJ run with the ball for a while, because, I mean, SmackDown's your B-show to them. It'll always be a B-show to Vince. So you can take some chances and take some gambles, and by next year's draft, if you're like, well, I think we're going to steal this AJ Styles and throw him on the main show again, then you can't. But he's done everything right. He's done everything Vince has asked of him. he's having a lot of fun. And I don't, Mo, did you see what happened in the dark match with AJ?
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's little things like that that just tell me that he's having a lot of fun right now.
Oh, yeah. They took his best friends away from him and he didn't pout. He got better.
Yep. He did.
He didn't even know the club was going to Raw. He could have pouted about it. He could have been a baby like a lot of wrestlers are. Stayed the course, got better. Too sweet at his own hand.
Yeah. So absolutely, he's got to get the belt.
Yeah, let's move to the next subject. And we talked about MVPs and everything. So PWI put up their top list. Number one, Roman Reigns. Over Okada, over Jay Lethal, over AJ Styles. Joel and I have kind of talked about this. I want to get your thoughts, Joel. But Mo, I'm really excited to hear your thoughts on all this.
Well, it's PWI. It's not
that's exactly what Joel said.
It's not a kayfabe magazine. Yeah. Or sorry, it's not an insider magazine. It's a kayfabe magazine.
Yeah.
It's tried to be away from that a little bit, but it's always been a kayfabe magazine. So, yeah, kayfabe wise, Roman Reigns, you could say, is number one. So it doesn't mean anything. I mean, PWI awards have never meant anything other than it's a discussion point, I suppose. But yeah, whatever. Like how is it, every year that PWI continues to publish is the year that I go, holy shit, PWI still publishing?
Well, you I don't want to step on you. You're good with your any more points, Mo? Before I jump in, here's a with PWI, it's a kayfabe mag, so I kind of go, there's only a certain handful of list or rankings that I care about. PWI is not one of them. It's kind of neat, and like you said, it's that little discussion point. But I also, on the flip side of things, you look at the kayfabe thing, and you go, Roman Reigns is a 3-time champion, he headlined WrestleMania, the biggest WrestleMania, and he won, and he had the championship. So to me, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, I guess it makes sense, because like calling it like it is, WWE is still huge. It's still bigger than New Japan. It's still bigger than ROH. To some fans, it's different, but in the reach that the company has and the history, like, WWE is one. So to be at the top of the number one company, it makes sense for him to be number one. But on the flip side, you look at the runs that Okada and Jay Lethal had in that time in ROH and New Japan, respectively. And you go, these are both names that should be recognized. AJ didn't have that great of a run kayfabe-wise. He had those losses. And he's had lost at WrestleMania. He lost at the Royal Rumble. He lost at several different points. So it makes sense for him not to be right there. But Okada and Lethal, you can make the argument for, but as a kayfabe magazine, that's how I would kind of look at it. But there is one little side story to it. Adam Cole came in the top 10, and he was on the Wrestling Reddit, I believe, and they had asked him, what do you think of being ranked in the top 10? And he said, to me, it's really cool, because when I was little, and I'd go with my grandmother, and she would be, and we would be out shopping for groceries and everything, I would sit and read the wrestling magazines, and I'd sit there and read the Pro Wrestling Illustrated with my grandmother. And his grandmother recently passed away, and he got to tell her that he was in the top 10 of the PWI, and she lit up, and she was really happy. And it's just, like, for us, it doesn't matter, but little things like that kind of go, you know, it has its place. It's not huge, but it's that small little thing that someone like Adam Cole can be like, hey, this is kind of cool, because I'm here at this point, according to them. So that's kind of neat.
I had thought, Julie, you wrote the best.
Still publishing?
I thought that Joel brought up a really good point earlier. Like, there's only really a handful of lists and sites you're going to listen to when they say stuff that of lists. And I was definitely stealing this point from Joel, but it's the Resident Observer. And then to a degree, it's the Law. And recently, what culture?
Hey, did you see that list? I think it was it Sports Illustrated that did that list of like the top 50 wrestlers in WWE or something like that recently? It was just horrid.
It was like Sports Illustrated, hey?
Yeah, I think it was Sports Illustrated, or maybe it was ESPN. I can't remember.
Well, Well, ESPN's had a really rough week this week. ESPN's week. You heard what Elmino Hassa did, right?
No.
We were all excited about Kevin Steen's kid.
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into it. I've never been a fan of his analysts in the first place. But that was just totally uncalled for, especially the autism line about the kid. That was just totally out of line.
I have no comment on this. I have a brother with autism, so I'm very much distancing myself from this. Because if I say
he's a jackass. He's a jackasshole. That's all I need to say.
Exactly. Exactly. And as far as the PWI thing, I'm surprised, they're still publishing, like Mo said. But, it's kind of a cool to see your name, but when you take slammies into your list, I lose a little bit of respect for you.
That's true, except for when Owen won his slammies. It's got two slammies.
It's got two. Moving on. Alberto
I did it again!
Woo! Yes! Alberto Del Rio quit. No one's shocked. It was one of the worst booking years for a talent ever. I mean, you look at what AJ Styles has been treated as with him getting his big win over John Cena compared to what Del Rio got, it's been night and day.
Can I just say, but you say it's been one of the worst booking years, but it's not. It's been one of the worst, like, except the only time he was booked any well at all was when he wasn't there. That period he wasn't there. Like, previously he was booked like shit too.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying he's never been. He's at Wade Barrett levels of wow. This was really underused.
Well, that's exactly it. It's like I say, it's not just this year. It's the previous run as well.
Mm-hmm.
Horribly booked. And when I look at Vince McMahon and I say, maybe people say, well, he's too old, he's out of it, and I go, I don't think age has anything to do with it. But when I say, when people say he's out of touch, he doesn't get it, he's whatever. To me, all the evidence you need in the entire world is he brought back Del Rio as a heel and put him with Zeb Coulter. That was his idea.
Mm-hmm.
Done. He doesn't get it. He's way out.
He had a feud with Jack Swagger.
Way out of touch.
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. And then, then they had the match with the Kalisto, and those could have been good, but then Kalisto beat him. So
he was already dead by that point.
If you did the one surprising win with Kalisto, great. It's kind of, reminiscence of X-Pac and Scott Hall. But then you have Del Rio come back and just destroy him. You have your upset win, good for Kalisto. Then you have Del Rio come back and destroy him. And then Kalisto beat him again, clean. And then that destroyed him. League of Nations was a joke.
And League of Nations was before that. And I think he was destroyed before that. But to me, it's like, it's so like the crowd wanted him as a baby face. He was so over as a baby face. Came back that night. He was a baby face despite having Coulter with him. Like they would never do this with Seth Rollins. Have a guy who the crowd he comes back after being gone a long time.
And it's interesting because we just heard
Vince McMahon's an idiot.
At times, yeah. He has millions of brilliance and moments of idiocracy. We had the Ryback podcast this week. Have you heard it, Ed Elmo?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of stuff he says in that, I'm 50-50 on what's real and what's not. With Del Rio, I'm going to believe a lot about what he says. And I'm more interested to see what he has to say for grievances than what Ryback had to say.
But it's the same thing. At the end of the day, and this isn't new. Like, everybody's like, oh, he told me I was going to be the number one guy, and then I never happened.
Yeah.
Jesus, he told Ted DiBiase he was going to be the number one guy and have the belt, and it never happened. He told Bad News Brown he was going to get the belt, and it never happened.
He finds a new toy.
Yeah, this is not new.
No.
But
you're going to be the guy, pal.
But it's not just telling somebody. If you have a guy who you don't have to make him the champion. If you book him well, and he's in a lot of great feuds. The Undertaker for a long time wasn't the champion, but was booked great. So it didn't matter. And the booking has just, I'm talking just about the booking. Not good. They're not good with this guy.
Mm-hmm. Joel?
I was one of the few minorities that were never high on Del Rio to begin. I was always like, man, he's a decent.
Really?
Runner. Yeah, I was always just kind
of. I loved him from FCW. I thought he should have been everything.
I've always been, eh, I don't know, there's just something about him that I was kind of like, eh. But, I mean, there's so many things that happened with the Del Rio thing. Like, when he came in, Meltzer had made mention that he was supposed to come in with Heyman, which I think would have been interesting. But I think, like, the guy was just set up to fail, and this is the first big time I've heard of a Hunter burial. That Hunter did it backstage in the present day. Like, there haven't been too many stories about Hunter burying guys when he's more in the office. This is the first real predominant thing of Hunter absolutely killing Del Rio's run and just killing any momentum that he may or may not have had. And that's what we kept hearing, was that Hunter wasn't high on Del Rio, and that hurt him. The whole Del Rio situation, it's a shame, because I might not see it, but there is clearly a market for Del Rio, and clearly there's something you could have
done. Lucha Underground!
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, did you see him in Lucha Underground?
He was awesome.
Joel, you haven't seen it? You have to watch him there. When you say you don't see it, just go on Daily Motion and find him in Lucha Underground and tell me you don't see it, because he was a different guy there. I mean,
and Ring of Honor, too. The little runner Ring of Honor, too.
Yeah, absolutely. He had that great match with Jay Lethal in Ring of Honor, and a match with... I think it was Roderick Strong that was really cool. Yeah. And but again, you'll see it. But especially in watch him in Lucha Underground and tell me that this guy isn't somebody you could really market, because it comes across like the biggest star in the business, the way he is there.
They want the new Rey Mysterio, and he was the new Rey Mysterio, minus the mask.
Yeah, in some ways better.
Like,
he legitimately stood up for his race. Mm-hmm. Was fired for it wrongfully, came back, and they made him a heel.
Mex America.
The biggest thing with the Del Rio situation, it just seemed like it was a misfire from the word go. Like, I even remember his promos beforehand and him. The little vignettes that they had for him and him coming out.
Oh, those were fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I loved those.
Those were... You knew who Del Rio was right from the word go. I think a lot of ways... Like, I need to go back and see some of this Lucha and some of the ROH stuff to really get a grasp. But I think that speaks volumes, where you see one guy in Lucha and then you see another guy in WWE. And just the different... what WWE ultimately did to
John Morrison right now.
Yeah.
Day and night. And I think the question out of all this is, what happens with Paige? We know she has a contract till 2019, but does she quit and just follow Del Rio?
No, they're not going to let her go.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a breach of contract. You can't just quit. Like,
does she pull an AJ Lee?
Retire?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
With all the injuries, even?
I don't think so. But it's just a guess.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens. That one thing is for sure.
Well, I wonder how much, because you're going to see this more than me and Mo ever will, but what we see of Del Rio and Total Divas.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm interested in. If we see Del Rio at all, maybe they cut him out. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still filming the stuff today. If her Snapchat is any indication, Eva's their trip to Barbados or wherever was with Ms. Maurice, and it looked like there was cameras there. So they're still taping Total Divas right now. So this Del Rio thing could be part of Total Divas still, and quitting and Paige having to deal with it.
My understanding was that he had a 1 year. There's a 1 year option. He had signed a multi year deal.
Yeah,
1 year option came about to that where he had an out and they had an out. He optioned out. Mm-hmm. They tried to renegotiate with him. They offered him more money, and a portion of that money would be that he would be on Total Divas as a cast member and therefore be able to get more money. And he turned that down. So that's my understanding.
Okay.
Well, I guess we'll find out. I mean. again, I'm the guy that's going to be watching it. So whatever happens,
what's
I will keep it
in. With you?
I like my dramatic shows, man. Okay. We have a reality podcast. I take care of everything. Bachelor, Big Brother, all that. I'm the guy. Don't worry.
What's wrong with you?
It's a great show. You should give it a chance.
What's wrong with you?
I'm a guy that, I grew up on One Tree Hill and the OC, and the mix of that kind of dramatics with WWE people, man, it was a match made in heaven. I was
so hyped.
What's
wrong
to have
with
it.
You? All right.
That I enjoyed quality television.
Next topic.
I don't know what we have left. I think that was what else is left.
We're getting close. We're getting left to CM close to CM Punk. You guys feeling any buzz?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's going to get knocked out. I haven't been impressed from what I've seen on Evolution of Punk from when he's had his sparring sessions. I hope he does good. I hope he survives, but. Honestly, I don't know, man. But I've given up any pipe dream of him ever returning to the company anytime soon. Especially with the comments today about the lawsuit still going, and it looks like him and Colt Cabana aren't friends anymore.
What?
So
I didn't know that.
Joel.
So
hit him.
This is nothing's been confirmed. Neither of them have said anything disparaging on each other, but there have been little trickles since about spring. Where Punk stopped retweeting Colt's his podcast, and they unfollowed each other on Twitter. And even when Cabana was doing a unpackaging of a pro wrestling tees, someone had made a mention of like, oh, and his face was on a t-shirt with Punk. And he's like, oh, I thought you guys weren't cool anymore. And there have been a lot of little things where apparently, and this is like the wrestling rumor conspiracy theorist section of the world, which take with a grain of salt, but apparently Cabana had been backstage at a Raw visiting some of his old buddies, and Punk took that as a slight to hurting the lawsuit that they're currently dealing with, and basically told him to fuck off. That's the rumor. Neither sides have confirmed anything. Neither sides have said anything really out there about stuff, so.
Well, and we had heard that Colt was no longer part of the lawsuit, and me and Joe had the longest time. I was like, why is Colt out of the lawsuit? I guess we know why.
Well, that sounds very CM Punk, doesn't it? Like, I know you're saying take it with a grain of salt, but it certainly sounds very CM Punk.
Yeah.
I thought CM Punk was a very, very, very good talker and a very good wrestler. Mm-hmm. And I really liked him. I liked him in the wrestling world. As a person, I'm not a big fan of him, and I won't be watching the fight. I hope he gets smashed. To be honest with you, I think he's kind of a prick.
There's
and
two wrestlers.
I believe he's a complete hypocrite.
Yeah, there's two wrestlers currently, Mo, that I really just don't think are really good. There's a lot. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot. There's two people in particular that I just think are assholes, and Punk is one, and Brock's the other.
Both are definitely assholes. If you're talking about guys that are current, yeah. Yeah,
guys that I wouldn't want to just sit down and have a conversation with. I just wouldn't.
Both assholes.
Yeah, they're just... Even at the end of SummerSlam, I don't want to get too much into it, but I just thought, well, those elbows were planned, and with the stuff with Jericho in the back, I thought Brock handled it really poorly.
Of course. He's an asshole.
He's just not a nice person, and I don't think Punk's a very nice person either.
And you know what? Not only is Lesnar not a very nice person, I don't think he's a very smart person. And it really makes me wonder about Rena, you know, about his wife, because she, from all accounts, has an extremely high IQ, apparently. And I go, I can't imagine. Can you imagine trying to sit across from dinner with Brock and have a conversation about, well, anything?
Well, Stone Cold tried to do it, and it didn't work very well.
No, like, is there anything, like, what do you talk to a Brock about? Like,
trackers, guns, bullying people?
Exactly. Exactly, and I agree with you. Punk is a moody asshole, and he takes out a lot of stuff on people that don't deserve it in ways that's just he's rude, he's ill mannered, and I'm not a fan.
Even like I'm not a fan of Ryback, and if the story is true about him just going up to Ryback and saying you're a dumb fuck for dropping me, like maybe handle that a little bit more maturely. You're both working together in a system. I know Ryback is sloppy, but maybe don't call someone a dumb fuck. Maybe just be like, dude, you really almost hurt me out there. Let's work on that instead of calling him a dumb fuck.
But one of the reasons why CM Punk took so long to get to the main roster was because he had hurt a lot of people. He was sloppy in his wrestling. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's there's a lot of irony to that.
Yeah. I guess I finish off because I've talked so much about it really quickly here. The Ryback podcast. Joel, have you heard it yet?
No, I haven't heard it, but I've seen the Cliff Notes. Like, the one thing that be wary with the Ryback podcast is people will write, well, Ryback said this and this and this, but when you actually hear and listen to what he said,
mm-hmm.
they're two very kind of different things.
It's much different. Like, he, with the AJ thing, everyone's like, he said that he did that, and Ryback's like, Vince said this to me, I don't know if it was true. So he wasn't even sure about that. He did, like, and Joel and I had joked, because there was something going out there that said, like, he was going to get 15 over 3, and someone mistyped that. It was 1.5 over 3. Mm-hmm. It wasn't 15. Yeah. So someone mistyped that. The one thing there's a lot of stuff in there, and I don't want to get a long conversation about this, but I guess we've talked about this. The cars, the hotels, not being paid for, still just ridiculous to me.
For sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything else that really stuck out to you in that? When he's on,
I mean, the independents will pay for his transportation. His hotel. It's,
ROH does. Apparently. Yeah. ROH pays for it, apparently.
Yeah, the fact that they
good luck, Jay Lethal. It's
crazy.
Is there anything else in that podcast that stood out to you?
No, I mean, the stuff that's most interesting was the stuff that was, you know, talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, the rest of it is, like, he's a guy that, the best way to describe Ryback is, when you hear that podcast, he's the exact guy you think he is.
Yeah.
He's the exact, whatever you thought, like, if I said to you a month ago, what do you think a Ryback podcast will be like? And whatever you thought, that's what it is.
It was kind of funny to me. It kind of reminded me of the Kanye speech from the VMAs this week, where Kanye came out as like, I'm not talking about Taylor Swift. And like 2 minutes later, and that's why I call Taylor Swift. And it was kind of like the Ryback. I'm not talking a shit about the WWE. And that's why I'm pissed off with the WWE. It's like, what?
Yeah, pretty much.
Two different messages that you're giving me, buddy.
Also, I do not believe the smartest guy in the world.
Probably not. He is a dumb fuck.
Well, some people think so.
See what I did? Brought it back there.
Yeah, no, it's nice.
Joel, anything else?
Nothing that comes to mind. Like the Ryback.
Oh, CWC was amazing, as always. Yes. It just constantly delivers.
The burning hammer was seen.
Oh my god! Pine Kendrick's neck. Coda's neck, actually. And I love that in that Brian told the stories like Coda had a repaired neck, which I had forgotten about. But that's good commentary. And I'm worried that that's not going to happen on Raw other than Corey Graves. Corey Graves has got a lot of work to do.
You said Brian, but how about the revelation on ESPN that they went into, he knew that Miz was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a brief outline, but he didn't know exactly where it was going to go, and he didn't expect it to go in the direction it went in.
Yeah.
What do you think about that comment, guys?
I believe that because I've also heard like they're deliberately keeping Brian and Miz away because they didn't know where it was going to go and they didn't think it was get as big as it would and they don't know how to finish it, so they're just keeping them away from each other.
Yeah, they can't have the match and they don't trust them to not get into a heated exchange plus on live TV so they're legitimately keeping away from each other. And Daniel Bryan legitimately wanted to punch him during it and thought about it, but decided not to because he knew he could.
I wish he would have.
Well, truth is, though, didn't Daniel Bryan, so he's saying he's soft, start it?
Yeah, he did. And Miz, you were talking about MVPs, and you were talking about most improved. I don't disagree with your AJ thing. Miz is my most improved this year. Miz was at a very scary level where he could have just been stuck being that guy, and he's gotten back up to a really, really nice level.
2 weeks ago, he was that guy. When he was facing Apollo Crews at the SummerSlam, and he was doing he was losing to Randy Orton on free TV on SmackDown the week before, he was back at that level. No, but when I say, all I'm saying was when he says that you're a coward, the way you wrestle and you're soft and you're a coward, that to, like, everybody talks about how The Miz went to an uncomfortable level, Daniel Bryan. But as far as, like, how much that would hurt for a guy like The Miz, I'm sure that hurt almost at the same level.
Well, look at Maryse's face. Maryse's face looks like she was heartbroken about her husband called that.
Yeah, like, I'm sure that almost hurt at the same level. And he didn't say it first. Did he go too far? Yes. But you know what? He went too far because the other guy went too far. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan could have said that in a way that was not... He went too far. And Miz reacted. And I don't really blame The Miz. It's amazing to me. Like, it was designed to get him heel heat, I know. And he went too far. But the other guy, like... That's a really disrespectful thing to say that Daniel Bryan said. And then now he came back and he said something. Now, but this is my only point. If Daniel Bryan says what he says on Talking Smack afterwards this week, and I also said to the coach on ESPN, it's true that he thinks about it, but his wife is keeping him in check, but he thinks about quitting and going and wrestling in Tokyo Dome and everything. If he's even thinking about it, he shouldn't be there. They should get him off TV because he should not even be thinking about it.
Well, you heard about the Forbes article story, right?
Yeah,
that was
where idea. It's. Is it not? It's not confirmed now.
Yeah. Okay, it doesn't seem to be accurate now.
Well, I just thought that the Tokyo Dome line was interesting this week, but I also thought AJ kind of egging him on at the end was interesting again. Mm-hmm. Personally, I don't want to see Brian back as. If I could forget about the concussions and everything, of course I'd love to see Daniel Bryan. But knowing all that, I just would feel very uncomfortable knowing everything we know, especially with like Benoit, for example, and some of the stuff with them very similar. I just couldn't deal watching it. I just wanted to stay far away from it.
You mentioned
I don't think he can handle being there, and that to me means he shouldn't be there.
Yeah. No, and he was supposed to go to classes and teach this and learn. He was supposed to take this program at the University of Arizona this year and was going to just start his life all over again. And then the CWC intrigued him. And then when he did the CWC, you can't just do one thing with them. And then they dragged him into the SmackDown thing. Like, you can do CWC, but you have to do SmackDown. And here we are.
What Vince will do for ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Benoit and speaking of similarities, why, like, last time I saw Rusev wrestle, he did the diving headbutt twice. Why is that still a move that's not banned? Like, we talk about the Burning Hammer and other moves, the curve stomp being banned in WWE. Why the hell are you doing the diving headbutt? That's a proven problem.
Even Harley Race says he wish he never invented it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I know it's an odd little tangent to go on.
Harley Race, though, just did it like... He didn't do it like the one that Benoit did. That was Dynamite.
Yeah, that's Dynamite that did that. Yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, CWC again, great week from that. We have a pay per view coming up next week and CM Punk next week. Make sure you check out all the great podcasts we have. Mo, do you have a short, quick joke?
No.
No, okay. Well, we're all going to go to bed.
If I wanted a short, quick joke, I'd just go into the washroom and watch you take a leak.
Ah, there we go. We're waiting for that, weren't we? All right, well, until next time, cheers. And enjoy the day, people.